Can the Constitution stop our out-of-control Congress from spending us into bankruptcy?
Young people who know nothing about our nation's founding don't realize the freedoms and prosperity they are losing.
This is Bob Boyd.
And Jerry Boyd.
This is Issues in Education. We are witnessing the bankruptcy of America. Within the next 12 months, the U.S. Treasury will have to refinance $3.5 trillion.
Who will loan us that much money when we're already bankrupt?
Foreign nations are realizing that America may never repay the huge debt we already owe them. That loaning us trillions more is out of the question. No more money, no more loans from China. That means the party is over and bankruptcy is coming next.
Being trillions of dollars in debt to foreign nations is virtually the same as being conquered by them. We are at their mercy.
That's for sure. And yet, incredibly, our government spends trillions of dollars more. We have a president and a Congress unlike any in our history, squandering hundreds of billions of dollars. At a time like this, you have to ask, can the Constitution stop the federal government taking over the private sectors of the economy? And can the Constitution stop Congress from spending us into bankruptcy?
Are we governed by a Constitution or not? If the American people don't know anything about our Constitution, how would they know if it's no longer valid?
If we're no longer governed by a Constitution, then who makes the rules? America isn't just bankrupt, it's also corrupt, with political payoffs to buy votes from corrupt politicians for corrupt legislation. Our guest is historian and pastor Garrett Lear, the Patriot pastor, who has started several other churches from his church, the Well of Living Water Christian Fellowship in New Hampshire. Patriot pastor Garrett Lear speaks at conferences like Oath Keepers and Tea Party gatherings and in public high schools on the founding of America and the documents that gave us our nation and our freedoms. Garrett, why is it so important for high school students to learn about the Constitution?
These are our foundational documents. If our high school students in particular don't understand these things, then as they get older and they become voters, and of course most high school students will become voters before they graduate high school or shortly thereafter, they need to know what the foundation of our country is. And they need to know what their rights and their responsibilities are.
What do you begin with when you talk about the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence?
Well, the first thing I usually say is, I'll have no other king but King Jesus. A lot of people say, how do you get away with that in public school? I said, when I make that statement, it's not just about my belief religiously, it's about what our founding fathers believed our government should be, that it wouldn't be a king rulership, that it would be a constitutional republic. In our declaration, for example, we have been endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights. And amongst these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We have been the freest and most prosperous nation ever in the history of the world. But if they do not take their responsibility to understand what America's about and to stand up for what is right, they will lose those rights. And I usually read a scripture, something like Isaiah 33:22, for the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king, he will save us.
The Declaration of Independence and our Constitution were framed, written, and ratified by Christians. And when the framers wrote the Constitution, Articles 1, 2, and 3 talk about the legislative branch, the executive, and the judicial. So there they put the scripture, Isaiah 33:22, the Lord is our judge, lawgiver, and our king. So it's obviously a Christian document.
There's no doubt about that. The problem is today, many Christians don't really understand the founding of the country, and they're afraid to say America was founded by Christians. The Mayflower Compact and Pilgrims, they were Christians.
I think it's interesting how ignorant most young people are regarding our basic foundational documents like the Declaration of Independence and Constitution. In typical polls, 80% of college seniors from elite colleges earn no better than a D in a typical high school history exam. And 45% of adults surveyed thought that Abraham Lincoln was one of the founders of this country.
Well, if our young people are ignorant of the history of this country, who has to take responsibility for that?
The parents.
The parents have to take responsibility because most parents don't know what their children are being taught, and they don't establish that teaching when their children are young enough. My kids, from the time that they were old enough to even understand what I was saying, I taught them these things. I read to them foundational documents. I think of somebody like Benjamin Franklin, who said, a nation of well-informed men who have been taught how to know and prize the rights which God has given them cannot be enslaved. It's in the region of ignorance that tyranny begins.
Wow, that's a great quote. Do you want to say that again?
Benjamin Franklin said, "A nation of well-informed men who have been taught to know and prize the rights which God has given them cannot be enslaved."
Well, that's good, and that goes right along with Samuel Adams. Samuel Adams said, "If virtue and knowledge are diffused among the people, they will never be enslaved. This will be their great security." These are great quotes.
That's why we're seeing such bondage today. Children have not been taught. Cotton Mather's lived from 1663 to 1728, and his first resolution, "At the birth of my children, I will resolve to do all I can that they may be the Lord's. I will now actually give them up by faith to God, that each child may be a child of God the Father, a subject of God the Son, a temple of God the Spirit, and be rescued from the condition of a child of wrath." If every parent adopted that resolution, just that one resolution, it would make a big difference in our country. And of course, those that are praying for revival, I personally believe that we're not going to see revival unless we put things in the right order that the Lord has encouraged us to do.
Sure, we have to put the children first, which we really haven't. But I like that. I mean, you're raising up a child with a Christian worldview, a Christ-centered worldview, so that they put Christ first. He's preeminent in everything.
But Garrett, do we have a Christian nation? Here's what our president says.
"We are no longer a Christian nation. Since our founding, American Muslims have enriched the United States. Islam has always been a part of America's story. There is a mosque in every state in our union and over 1,200 mosques within our borders. We are no longer a Christian nation."
And you know what else? In Egypt in 2009, he said, "You might say that America is in fact a Muslim nation."
As I travel this country, and I spend quite a bit of time traveling the country, we are a Christian nation. America did not become a free and independent nation without the help of Almighty God, the God of the Bible. Our founding father said so.
He said that if you counted all the Muslims in America, that we'd be right up there near the top, when in fact we're about the 80th as far as being a Muslim nation.
You know, one of the points I want to make is that if you actually took the number of Muslims, Americans, you know, we'd be one of the largest Muslim countries in the world.
It is not the position of the president to go and make statements like that, especially when they're erroneous and false. I can easily disprove what he said.
Islam is not part of the problem in combating violent extremism. It is an important part of promoting peace.
I've read the Quran 3 times. I can tell you that Islam is not a religion of peace. I can tell you that though we do have many Muslims in America, we've certainly seen what that can bring about. We've had tragedies at Virginia Military Institute, tragedies at Fort Hood. We've had tragedies in New York. These were all led by Muslims. They've proven what they're about. And of course, to say that America has no foundation in Christ is to lie to the American public.
Fort Hood, during that ceremony, he was the only one on stage that kept his hands folded. The others were saluting or they had their hand on their heart, but he doesn't even do that. He shows no respect for the flag.
And when the first Muslim American was recently elected to Congress, he took the oath to defend our Constitution using the same Holy Quran.
He calls the Quran the Holy Quran, but yet doesn't show much respect for the Bible. You have to wonder, is the man a Muslim? He talks about his Muslim faith. Is he a Muslim?
Many other Americans have Muslims in their families or have lived in a Muslim-majority country. I know because I am one of them. But my father came from a Kenyan family that includes generations of Muslims. As a boy, I spent several years in Indonesia and heard the call of the azan at the break of dawn. That experience guides my conviction.
I believe that he is. Matthew 7, 16 and 20 says, "Know them by the fruit they bear."
As the Holy Quran tells us, the Holy Quran teaches that, the Holy Quran tells us, and the Holy Quran also says...
We have pictures of Mr. Obama bowing before the Saudi king. We have pictures of him not saluting as commander-in-chief. It's unconscionable to be on a military base review stand and not salute.
Shocking,
things,
isn't it?
These things are purposeful. It's a way of breaking down the people in America to believe a lie. I mean no disrespect to anybody, but the truth is the truth. As we know in John 8:32, it's the truth that shall make us free, not believing a lie.
Well, how did American people elect this guy to the highest office after he only served in the Senate for 150 days, never having run anything except maybe a rally, and he lived overseas so many years?
Well, that's a very good question, Jerry, and I think somebody has been behind him. You got to ask the question, why would somebody like George Soros, totally ungodly person, extremely wealthy, why would George Soros want Barack Obama to be president of the United States when Barack Obama promised to take money from the rich and give it to the poor? And that's totally unconstitutional. It's also unbiblical. It's not a Christian principle to take from one to give to another. We voluntarily give to help, but not through theft. Somebody wanted him in this position, and he's moved towards a global governance, towards a one-world government, a one-world currency, and which is totally not the Bible.
It was interesting. Obama said that Islam has contributed a lot to our history and the history of the world with a lot of richness, but I'm thinking the last time I checked, it was the pilgrims who landed at Plymouth Rock, and they were Christians. They weren't Muslims.
Islam has always been a part of America's story.
Our founding fathers were inspired by the Bible, not the Quran. And just as a footnote, the first time America sent troops into combat overseas was when Thomas Jefferson ordered the Navy and the Marines to Libya to fight the Barbary pirates. The Muslims were our enemy.
Those Barbary pirates were Mujahideen on a jihad. Of course, Thomas Jefferson, as our third president, dispatched the Marines there to Tripoli for those very issues. But today, with the political correctness in America that you can't say any of these things, well, I do say them because I'm not going to defile my heritage. And I had four ancestors on the Mayflower.
Garrett, you had four ancestors on the Mayflower?
Yes, I did.
They came over from England on the Mayflower?
Yes, they did.
That's amazing. What are their names?
John and Joan Hurst Tilley and Elizabeth Tilley and John Howland, who later married Elizabeth Tilley when his wife died crossing. And incidentally, only just a small group of the women, actually the adult women, survived. John and Joan Tilley, in the first year, froze to death in the first winter at Plymouth, froze to death in their beds.
Oh, my.
There are many Americans that have this heritage. It's time for Americans with this kind of heritage to recognize just what John Quincy Adams said there. Posterity, you'll never know how much it has cost my generation to preserve your freedom.
Yes,
I hope
you
make good use of it.
Absolutely, because a lot of times Christians just give up on this nation and they hope for Jesus to come back soon. And when they realize that this nation was a gift from God, that our Constitution reaches into the Bible to claim that we're all created equal by a creator God, when you realize that this nation was founded on biblical concepts, it's nothing to throw aside lightly. It's something we need to defend because our freedoms are in there.
Well, I can tell you that effective citizenship begins with knowledge, and we will see a restoration because I believe that God has a manifest destiny for America. He has a plan and a vision. If you look at the 1630 speech of John Winthrop on the deck of the Arabella, that is the quintessential vision for America. It's the City on the Hill speech, which comes directly from Scripture.
And is that the one that Ronald Reagan quoted?
Yes, Ronald Reagan quoted that, and our founding fathers were very fluent in that vision. My question today for everyone is, if America is lost, if America does not survive the kind of tyranny that we're seeing, will we ever see the likes of such a nation again? And my personal belief is that we have the best governmental system that any people of the world have ever had.
Ronald Reagan said this is the last best hope for mankind, and if anything happens to this experiment, then it'll be 1,000 years of darkness.
That is very true. And, you know, when we read in the Declaration of American Independence, and I hope that all of our listeners will take the time to read it and read the 28 indictments against the British King and the Parliament and ask, is this going on in America today? Are any of those things happening again? Because our founding fathers were willing to risk their lives, and they did. To sign the Declaration was to sign your death warrant. When John Hancock signed it, he said, I'm making my signature nice and big so the king can see it without his spectacles. But he also said, now the bounty on my head has gone up significantly.
Do you see Obama appointing all these czars as a big danger sign?
The word czar means Caesar. There's not supposed to be any Caesars in America. If we had George Washington on this call right now, he would not recognize what's happening with the presidency. He'd say, I was offered being King George of America, and I said, no. As Americans, we're not subjects of the government. The government belongs to us. That's why the preamble of our Constitution begins with these three words, we the people. We're not subjects of our government. Our government is supposed to be subject to us, but there's a great shift in government in America. The people are not the sovereigns, that it's those that are in government that exercise sovereignty over us. The Bill of Rights is not to protect the government from us, but protect us from the government. It could be called the Bill of Handcuffs, and without it, we would be in worse tyranny than we're even seeing today. I mean, there's egregious violation of the very rights that our founding fathers went out to fight for.
But how many people even know what the Bill of Rights are? And so many people think the Bill of Rights was something of a bygone era.
Well, that's a good point, Bob. If you ask the average American on the street, where do your rights come from? Well, from government. That's totally false. Our rights don't come from government. Our rights come from Almighty God. I mean, if they come from Him, they're inalienable. They can't be taken away by a government. That's why it's so important to reach the young people.
The inalienable rights are being taken, like the right to life. That's not given to babies anymore. So the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, all of these are under attack.
That's true. It's like saying we can make up our own rules. We don't have to follow God. If we stood up Samuel Adams, John Hancock, James Otis, and other signers of the Declaration and said, babies are being killed in the womb, men and men enter into marriage, that money is being taken from us to support all of these things, they wouldn't believe that it could have come to this, to the country that they founded. People like Thomas Jefferson would have said, well, that's why we gave you a constitution, to chain up the government.
That's why they had the separation of powers and limited government powers in the Constitution. And so now today we're seeing directly the opposite. I mean, a huge government just taking over every area of our lives.
Under President Obama and the most corrupt Congress in our nation's history, we are seeing the total corruption of our Constitution and this country.
I have committed myself first and foremost to King Jesus and His Word and to the true American Republic. I am not going to be thrown overboard, and as I tell people laughingly, I'm 6'7" and about 270 pounds. You'll have to hire a crane to throw me overboard on this boat called America.
That's pretty big.
Because I'm not jumping overboard, and I'm not leaving my country. Someone has stolen my country, and I want her back, and I want her back now. Thomas Jefferson said it this way, all tyranny needs to gain a foothold is for people of good conscience to remain silent. Many people are of good conscience, but they cannot remain silent. Christianity is not a playground, it's a battlefield.
That's for sure.
And there's definitely a battle right now for the heart and soul of America and what the true faith of America is. It's America under God, one nation under God. The God that we are under is not named Allah. It's not a matter of tolerance. When we move away from the support that the Lord gives for us, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn.
Mm. Boy, that is so accurate. And yet here again, we're seeing a campaign to rid America of every vestige of God.
Well, I think it's very late. But I don't think it's too late, especially think about a verse, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear their prayer from heaven, then will I heal our land. I believe that can still happen.
Well,
we certainly have to be diligent. People can't sit back and say there's nothing we can do.
Maybe we've taken our freedoms for granted.
We have taken our freedoms for granted. Every generation has to be taught these things over and over again. Noah Webster, he said, every child in America should be acquainted with his own country. As soon as he opens his lips, he should rehearse the history of his own country.
Well, America is emphatically a Christian nation, and it has been from the very beginning. And the decision of the Supreme Court in 1892, and they said, our civilization and our institutions are emphatically Christian. That was the Supreme Court in 1892.
Under Justice Brewer, he had his research assistants study 5,000 documents. They looked at 5,000 documents to come up with that. They didn't say America had to be a Christian nation. They weren't saying, okay, everybody out there has to be a Christian. They were simply reporting accurately what the documents proved to be fact.
Garrett, do you have a photographic memory? It's amazing how much you have memorized.
This is sort of the manifest destiny for my life. and the calling that I have. I love this country.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very well aware of some of our shortcomings, but I also have the Puritan view that this is a fallen world, and it'll never be anything but fallen except through the redemption that only Jesus can bring. In the meanwhile, I don't expect this to be a perfect country, and neither did our founding fathers when they said they were bringing us a constitution, we the people of the United States of America, in order to form a more perfect union. Not a perfect union, a more perfect union. For my children and for my grandchildren and for other people's children and grandchildren, I will stand my ground so that they will have the benefits that they should have. I speak at a lot of patriot rallies and political rallies, and I remind them all that there's no possible way that America could have become a free country without the hand of God helping, without the Lord, the God of the Bible. And that's why on the Lexington Green they said, "We recognize no sovereign but God, and no king but King Jesus." That's the truth, and I'm willing to go to my grave for it and with it. Here in New Hampshire, we have a motto, "Live free or die, because death is not the worst of evils."
That's good.
The United States has a manifest destiny to be an example and a blessing to the entire human race. The entire Constitution was intended to be such a model for the world of how a people can govern themselves and thereby enjoy an unlimited amount of freedom, prosperity, and peace. Our greatest export was to be freedom.
On the Lexington Green, they believed that what they were doing was the cause of mankind. In the heart of man, it's a place that the Lord has provided for himself, but also he's provided for us to believe in liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty.
And as Christians, we can homeschool our children if we are able, and that's the best hope for our future, I think, is to prepare and equip these young people, their young minds, to love the Lord with all that's in them, and then to want to serve him and go out and be leaders. And the founders did really pledge their lives, their fortunes, their sacred honor. Many had their homes burned down, their families were killed. I mean, it was a terrible thing, but they gave their lives and everything they had.
The price they paid for our freedom, and we're wanting to just walk away from it and let it go.
Well, I'm not, and I don't believe that you are, and I'm not giving up, and I'm encouraging people all over this country in every possible way to stand up for what is right.
Okay, Garrett Lear, Patriot Pastor, maybe you could give us a conclusion today.
Well, here's my conclusion. My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrims' pride, from every mountainside, let freedom ring.
Do you have a website?
ThePatriotPastor.org and Garrett Lear, the Patriot Pastor.
Okay, Garrett, would you like to end the program with a prayer?
I would. I'd like to say some of the things that George Washington said in his daily prayer, and I'm just going to say the final part of it. And finally, that thou wilt most graciously be pleased to dispose us all to do justice, to love mercy, and to demean ourselves with that charity, humility, and pacific temper of mind, which were the characteristics of the divine author of our blessed religion, and without a humble imitation of whose example in these things we can never hope to be a happy nation. Grant our supplication, we beseech thee, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Garrett, thank you for being on Issues in Education today.
I appreciate what Issues in Education is about and pray that more radio stations will carry the program. Mm-hmm.
Our guest has been the Patriot Pastor Garrett Lear. What if one of our founders, the founders of this nation, could speak to you today? What would he say? If he came to you and looked you in the eye and said, "We gave everything up for your freedom," are you going to let it all go as nothing? We fought a bloody war. We sacrificed, suffered, and died to give you this blessed nation. Does that mean nothing to you?
For those of you who say it's a lost cause, remember, Jesus came to save the lost.
For those of you who say, "I'm too busy making a living," then stop and think how much less you'll have left when your taxes are raised to socialist levels. Benjamin Franklin said, "Only a virtuous people are capable of freedom." Ben Franklin said, "As nations become more corrupt and vicious, they have more need of masters." Close quote.
Daniel Webster said, "God grants liberty only to those who love it and are always ready to defend it."
July 4, 1776 was not just the birth date of American freedom, it was the birth date for freedom around the world. And that's why the French called George Washington the father of freedom. Washington was the inspiration for freedom fighters everywhere.
Lincoln said, "The Declaration of Independence gave liberty not just to us, but the hope of freedom to the world." Lincoln said, "America is called to hold out a beacon of hope to all men, to all time to come."
And God says, "I gave you this country for a reason, to be a beacon to the world." Jesus Christ put it this way, "You are the light of the world, so let your light shine." And we say to you today, God is raising up an army to take back this nation for Him. Are you with us?
If you would like a CD copy of today's program, please ask for number 1135, Take Back America. That's number 1135, Take Back America. You can order a CD from our website. Our website is issuesineducation.org. That's issuesineducation.org. Or for credit card orders, you can call us toll-free at 888-ISSUES and the number 9. That's 888-ISSUES and the number 9. From 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty."